This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Si tienes ciertas afecciones crónicas como
enfermedad cardíaca,
asma,
diabetes, y tienes 19 años o más,
52,
36,
42,
puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20, vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20. Si tienes ciertas afecciones crónicas como
enfermedad cardíaca,
asma,
diabetes,
y tienes 19 años o más,
52,
36,
42.
Puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20, vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20.
Conan.
What it do? Boom.
Have you been looking for a new addition to your fitness routine lately?
Yes, and I have found one.
Really? Did you know that at-home boxing is one of the safest and most effective forms of exercise?
That's
you know
it. That? That's
well,
it.
Allow me to introduce you to Fight Camp. It's an interactive at-home boxing. Fight Camp brings the best workout in the world into your home and makes it fun. Explore thousands of workouts led by expert trainers with decades of experience teach you proper boxing form and technique. Fight Camp also has live punch counting stats that motivate you to push harder and help you map out your progress. Knockout achievements or go head-to-head against other members from across the country across the living room. Okay, Joe, have you done this product before?
Yeah, I actually started it last week, man.
Bro, what's it like?
It's really, you know, you don't have to leave the house or go to the gym, so there's no excuse not to exercise. It's right in front of you. The lessons are extensive. They're detailed, and that's good if you don't have any boxing training at all, which I don't. And the bag, it's not that cumbersome. You can stand it up wherever you want. You can put it to the side when you're not using it. And, I mean, between that, using the lessons and competing against whoever you want, friends, family, or just strangers around the world, it gives it an interactive part to it. It makes it a lot of fun, man. But I've really been enjoying it.
Yeah, one of the best things about Fight Camp is it makes boxing accessible to everyone. No matter what fitness level you're at, what your age is, what your experience with boxing is, you can do it. I know a lot of people out there, you know, probably haven't been to fight in their life, and Fight Camp can teach you, like, if you get bullied or get picked on, you know, you know at least you know how to punch somebody in the face and you're going to have a great time. So how do you think you would rank on the Fight Camp leaderboard, Joe? Would you be in first place, you think?
Oh, I'm working my way up to the top 10 worldwide. There's no doubt about that.
Oh, good grief. So join the biggest boxing community in the world without leaving your home. Fight Camp packages start just $99. Even off some great financing options, you can get started as low as $9 a month. It's so cheap. To get everything you need, go to fightcamp.com/Conan to learn more. That's fightcamp.com/KONAN.
I've been in really bad condition because I haven't been training. And I used to train. I've been training since I was a little kid. And everything that we sell on this show, we use ourselves. And the Fight Camp has been incredible because, as Joe mentioned, because Joe's the one that told me about it, as Joe mentioned, you know, you don't have to go to the gym. You don't have to change. You don't have to park anywhere. You don't have to pay gym memberships. And plus, like, I used to box in the service. And so I have a punching bag in my garage. And when you hit it, it swings back and forth. And, you know, somebody's got to hold it for you to really, you know, punch it. And this, nobody has to hold it. It doesn't swing back and forth. You don't got to hook it from the top of the roof. It just stands on the floor. And you can go out there. And they have little video sessions. So if you only got 15 minutes, you can do a 15-minute workout. And it works every single, you know, muscle in your body. I highly recommend it.
Go to fightcamp.com/Conan to learn more. That's fightcamp.com/KONAN. Next is from DC Big Osa Ya. Subject is Sol Ruka. What's going on, Sol Ruka? What's going on, gents? I'm a very big fan of your body work inside and outside the ring. My question is, have you ever seen this NXT female named Sol Ruka? Pull it up, Joe.
Yep, I'm good.
I know she hasn't been wrestling for a long time, but this female's in-ring work is impressive. She did the cutter off of the second rope. That's mind-blowing. And then I look at AEW's Jade Cargill, and her in-ring work is at times unwatchable. I fear she's going to hurt herself or somebody else in the ring. What are your thoughts on this subject matter? You got the picture of this chick, Joe?
Yeah, they wanted you to take a look at this finisher.
Okay. Oh, I saw this. I saw this. Go ahead. No!
It's a nice move.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a good looking move, but like, you know, I would, if you're if that's your finish has to look good 100% of the time. Because if you screw up your finish, it's like the kills, it ruins the match. And I would just say that might be a little bit too difficult of a finish for her to nail every time, because the other girl's got to be in perfect position too. You know, so I don't know. I mean, that's a good looking move, but And I really can't comment on her work because of off of one move, but you know, impressive move.
Apparently, she was a star gymnast, and that's how she caught the eye of Triple H. So
interesting.
I was trying to figure out where she came from.
Jade Cargill's in ring doesn't. I think it's irrelevant. I mean, she looks like a star, and they should just, like, bro, they should book her like Goldberg.
Right, plus, on top of that, you know? Where did she get practice? They don't do house shows.
Right.
She's not really on the indies. You know, yeah.
And they so put her in a list. She gets a lot of green girls too.
Right. That can't carry her.
Next is from Matt Wingblad. The subject is women's wrestling entertainment. Hey guys, just want to first thank you for the hours of entertainment every week. My brother and I listen as soon as the show drops, and I got to meet Disco last year at Sapphires while hosting clients for a convention, and he couldn't have been nicer, even if I've made accidental eye contact. So you wait a second. This guy came to the club and he made accidental eye contact? Yeah, we get suspended for the mailbag. I'm writing to ask your opinion on the increase in women's wrestling in the WWE, especially NXT. With the influx of recent female talent to both the main roster and developmental signees, plus NXT having almost an equal amount of women's matches most weeks, and in some cases exceeding the men's like this past week, is this the future that we should expect, considering there's seemingly no longer a philosophical divide between NXT and main roster? I've rarely missed a Raw or SmackDown in the past 30 years, no matter how terrible the show's been, but I'm finding myself really struggling through NXT. As most women's wrestling is definitely not my thing, and after all this time, they're starting to lose me. Since women's wrestling is on the Disco list, can you tell me if you think this is what the main roster shows look like in 3 to 5 years? Thanks, guys. That's from Matt in Michigan. Well, I'm sorry, but I don't want to sound misogynistic, but it's just, you know, my eyes see what they see. And when you just start diluting the amount of women talent, bro, I'm sorry, the women are not as good as the guys. So basically, no one can tell me that the like level of skill that the women's wrestlers bring is equal to the level of skill the men's bring. Okay, you're just not going to find a lot of good female workers. Okay, so if you have like a whole, if you're adding more workers, you're diluting the talent, and you're just showing the gap between the good ones and the ones that aren't that good. Bro, it used to be like Fabulous Moolah, Alundra Blaze, Medusa, Bambi, Peggy Lee Leather. There was like a handful of girls that knew how to work, and so they were the only girls that they were the only girls that would get on shows because they knew how to work. And they, you know, like now it's like we're just putting girls on the show because maybe they're doing decent numbers, maybe better than the guys. But it's like they're not getting on TV because they're good workers. Most of these girls are getting on TV because they look good. And you watch the matches, it's like the skill level. It's like, I'm sorry, it's just like a lot of these girls are green. They're not really that athletic, and they try to be, you know, so and it is puzzling. I mean, maybe they have metrics on this, the ratings wise and stuff, that they're just doing really well. And that, you know, but like if a girl's doing good ratings, I don't know if it's because she's a good worker. Like Sable was getting good numbers when she was a valet. You know what I'm saying? If a girl's attractive, she doesn't really need to work. You know, Scarlett's been doing great. She doesn't need to work, but she can. Like, Scarlett's a girl that they can work and they're going to put on TV. But like, I kind of agree with the guy. They are putting too many women on the show, and I don't know what if that's maybe the soy boy Gen Z audience that we have these days of this nerd culture that they just want to applaud the women's movement, you know, like the women's revolution, just because they're performing, it's great, you know, and stuff. I don't know if they're buying into that. Well, what do you think, Conan?
I don't know. I like good women's wrestling, like the 90s, the women's wrestling from Japan from the 90s, which is the best wrestling I ever saw women. But they were on such a whole nother level. There's only a handful of women that I'll watch. I don't know if I'd even pay to see a women's match because they're, like you said, they're not as good as the guys. But, you know, but if you put a good match, like, for example, you know, I don't know, Charlotte maybe against Becky, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. That, you know, that's going to be a good match. But there's very few high-level women.
Yeah, and don't trust me. Don't buy into the narrative today of people rating these matches and thinking that that's accurate. Dave Meltzer gave Jamie Hayter, who'd she wrestle at the pay-per-view, Sheeta?
Yeah.
He gave that match 4.5 stars.
Right.
Let me put something in perspective to you. Eddie Guerrero versus Rey Mysterio and Eddie Guerrero versus Chris Benoit only had one match apiece better than that one, according to wrestling ratings.
Yeah, that's wild. So
I'm just saying, so the, like, you know, it's like, so, right. Yeah, it is what it is, man. All right, so next is from John Flynn, subject is Jim Ross, Native American. Recently, Jim Ross has been saying he's Native American, especially his podcast discusses issues with prejudice in wrestling. Yes, he's also a victim. Did anyone know this Sean Wayne-loving good old boy Bill Watts' protege was Native American? Was this known in the wrestling industry? Seems fake, and he's trying to change history and make himself out like a victim while he had a huge role in the direction of all wrestlers. Dude, the guy's from Oklahoma.
Fake at all. He's Cherokee.
It's like you think, like, you're living in the Midwest where, like, there was tons of Indian, like, communities. Just suspend this guy. That's kind of a racist narrative.
John Flynn, yeah. He's part Cherokee, and it also says here that his family actually – their farm that they owned along the Illinois River was given to them by a Bureau of Indian Affairs land grant. So I think they're going to give that to someone that's a real Native American, not a phony, you know?
I think it's hysterical that this guy is, like, so ignorant on American history that he found it hard to believe that Jim Ross, being from Oklahoma, is Native American.
Yeah, I mean, come on.
All right, that's next one. That's actually I would think that our listeners have higher IQ than that, you know?
Every day, we rise, challenging ourselves to work for what we believe in. At U.S. Border Patrol, protecting our borders is more than a job. It's a calling. Agents answer the call, working together to keep our country and communities safe. If you are ready for a new mission, join U.S. Border Patrol and go beyond. Learn more at cbp.gov/careers.
Conan, I have a question for you.
What it do? Boom.
Have you been taking your Athletic Greens?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, well, that Athletic Greens is a fantastic product. Athletes use this. Basically, what Athletic Greens is, it's all of your nutrients all in one nutritional drink. I started taking Athletic Greens because I take, like, you know, when you take vitamins, I have like 9 bottles of vitamins that I take. And it's just a complete pain in the ass. Like, go, you know, having to open them and pour them every day and everything. But with Athletic Greens, it's just a powder. You put it in, you can shake it, you can mix it with protein drinks, you can mix it with juice, you can mix it with water. You can take it before your workouts, you can take it in the morning, you can take it after your workouts. It's comprehensive health and the power of habit in one. It's great for recovery, so I take mine usually after I work out. And athletes are just all in on this. You know, they have one thing in common with athletes, they take care of their bodies, and a huge part of that starts with, you know, whole body health. And they take AG1, and that's why I'm a huge fan of that. It has 75 high-quality ingredients that gives you daily nutrients and long-term gut health support. That's the best thing about this, is that it helps your digestive process. If you're having bad digestion, or, you know, you're going to the bathroom, it doesn't look good, you know, Athletic Greens, you know, puts us in the right direction.
Or if you're feeling backed up and stuff like that, yeah.
Yeah, and in all of this for just less than $3 a day. How great is that? It's an effective daily habit with the highest quality source ingredients. It's a win-win. So if a comprehensive solution is what you need for your supplement routine, then Athletic Greens is giving you a free 1-year supply of vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. Go to athleticgreens.com/Conan, K-O-N-N-A-N. That's athleticgreens, athleticgreens.com/Conan. Check it out.
Yo, so check it out. It helps hydrate the body. It's packed with vitamins and minerals. It boosts your immune system. It has so many benefits. As you know, we're big on wellness here. And bro, like, your body needs like 11 elements, but only 6 of them like are the most important one, which is like oxygen, nitrogen, phosphorus. And this is packed with everything that you need. You don't have to go and cut, you know, fruits or vegetables or anything like that. All these minerals and vitamins and everything that you need to maintain good health in one drink. It don't get better than that. I drink this every day. Disco was drinking it before I was. You know, he swears by it. So, you know, stay in shape and stay healthy. Get your Athletic Greens. Boom.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Now, that next is from Donald Big White X-Ray. Will you love me, Hot Legs? Let me read that again. Donald Big White X-Ray. Will you love me, Hot Legs? Subject is punishment. I think it was 3 weeks ago the New Day made their debut return to NXT and began to run as NXT Tag Team Champions. My question for you guys is, why do you think this is happening? I've seen some people online talk about how maybe a punishment for Woods because he talks a lot of shit about people on his YouTube channel, especially when they live stream. Or do you think it's maybe just a case of New Day being around for so long that WWE finally run out of every possible creative idea for them? Also, with them being NXT booked as champions, and with NXT having such long title runs, do you think it's possible they may be kept off WrestleMania? Merry Christmas, boys. Happy New Year. And Build Body's the single worst podcaster in the game. I will say this, though, to these people that don't like Billy. Bro, if you listen to his sports podcast, you would have a completely different perspective on the guy because his sports podcasts are excellent.
Yeah, but he's not going to, like Conan said, he's not going to win anyone over when he's
of course not.
On Twitter and whatnot. Yeah.
Right. He's fighting with the wrong fan base. Wrestling fans today, you don't want to fight with them. Let me see here. Yeah, that's an interesting take on the New Day thing. Because Xavier does like talk a lot of shit on the on his YouTube channel on live streams. Maybe they are, but I'm not putting it by him, past him for doing that. But maybe they just want to, like, you know, they were sending Charlotte down there previously, and maybe they just want to try to bump up the ratings for that show a little bit. You know,
if they don't have anything for them to do on the main shows, really, what's the harm?
Yeah, I think they always protect them. You know, they're helping make people, and then they'll give them something in the tag titles or something. So they always do that. They're using him to make people because they're so over and they're such great workers. And then they'll give him something to make sure they, you know what I'm saying?
Right. Hey, K100 crew. I'm writing in regards to the upcoming Will Ospreay versus Kenny Omega match scheduled for New Japan's Wrestle Kingdom on January 5th. Hopefully this question will be moot by the time it's read, but I doubt it. I'd like to hear your thoughts on how this match has been promoted in the United States. It hasn't been. Although it's a matchup of supposed generational talents. AEW's failed to even mention it on air, and it already has a built-in story arc. Omega left and gave the boys to the kingdom, gave the keys to the kingdom, pun intended, to Ospreay, their heir apparent. Now, Will thinks he's overtaken Kenny as the best wrestler on the planet and won't acknowledge Kenny's greatness. I'm a huge Ospreay fan over the last few years. The guy's become one of the best and most authentic heels in the game. He cuts articulate, intense promos and has the aura of a star. He understands the psychology of storytelling both in and outside of the ring, and he no longer works that flippy-dippy indie style. Steady works as a tough, ruthless bruiser who occasionally infuses some high-risk offense, but always in a logical way. And as for Omega, well, he's Omega. I can't for the life of me understand why AEW would be ignoring a matchup of such epic proportions. I believe they're doing a disservice to wrestling fans everywhere, but failing to create any story whatsoever to build to the match. What are your thoughts on this travesty? What do you think would be the right way to promote the match, given that the two stars live on different sides of the globe and fight in different companies? Dude, they're wrestling in this match in Japan. Okay, I don't hear any. I watch ESPN every you know, semi as much as I can. I've never heard ESPN promote anything over Japan sports. But the people Americans just don't care what happens in Japan. It's like you're attacking a market that, like, it's just they don't care. Plus, too, with Will, bro, Will Ospreay, like, I saw Dave. Maybe I have this. Maybe I like this tweet. I can read this to you. Dave was saying that Ospreay at his age is way ahead of Eddie at his age in promos, charisma, and ring work. And I find that.
How old is Ospreay?
Look that up, Joe. Look that up.
Yeah, Ospreay's 29.
Yeah, so he said at 27 he was like he was ahead of Eddie because like Eddie was like you know
that might have been at the time when Eddie wasn't getting on the mic much you know.
Well, what did he say? He was better than him in promos, ring work, and what?
Charisma. Yeah.
Yeah, I would agree in the charisma and promo, not ring work.
I would disagree on charisma.
Yeah,
bro, he had tons of charisma when him and Art were doing the Los Gringos Locos.
No, yeah, that's true. No,
he absolutely did.
Bro, I was there every fucking night.
I watched him. Bro, the guy watched. Bro, he goes in the ring. He's doing the back swing. Are you kidding me?
Very little charisma then. He got his charisma when he did that promo in WCW and then when he did that Who's Your Pop.
Him and Art had charisma together. Absolutely, they did.
He really didn't have that much. Yeah.
I would disagree with you. Okay?
Yeah, well, I was there, so I might know.
But I will say this. You know, and I think everybody's like talking about how Ospreay's this generational talent. It's like, dude, the guy had a decent little run in AEW, and if you came
they
across,
they really didn't do anything with him in AEW.
Well, he had interview time, and he didn't. He was underwhelming.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
he is a good interview though. But yeah, but you know, they didn't do anything with him in AEW, and he is a generational talent. But you know. Yeah. That seems to be AEW's MO. They get these big stars and they don't know what to do with them.
Right. Next is from All right. Next is from Bill Wild. The subject is Father of the Year, Tom Brady. Good morning, K100 fam. I write this because I'm particularly annoyed by Tom Brady. As a father or two, I just can't help but cringe or get pissed off when I read headlines like Tom Brady to spend first Christmas without kids in hotel. Really? This guy's a generational talent that's zero to prove to anyone, and for a brief time was actually retired. And by the way, I thought that was in order to focus on his family. It was pretty apparent that Tom Brady's wife basically told him at some point, it's us or football. But nope, another guy that just can't give up the game and wants to continue to compete. It was selfish and ego-driven choice, and in my humble opinion. Because a game of football that comes at the expense of his smoking hot ex-wife and kids, who in reality are the ones that actually need him. They need him more than silly fans or legacy ever will. I know hindsight is 2020, but should Brady have just stayed retired, in your opinion? Side questions. Were there any wrestlers' wives or families that demanded they quit wrestling or get off the road, and how did they respond? Thanks, as always. I don't know of any stories about any wrestlers that were told to quit. But, dude, what are you going to do? Are you going to tell somebody they need to quit work when they want to work? Greatest athletes in the history of athletes. And his dedication, that it's hard to walk away from. You know,
well,
when
not
you're
only
that level,
he probably
you know?
Figures I got 2 years left in me and then I'll retire for the rest of my life with my family. And how do you know that he's not seeing his kid? He might see him every weekend.
Right.
Like, why are you even pissed off about this? How does it affect your life in any way, shape, or form? What another guy is doing?
Let me find out what
you probably don't even know him.
He may be from Miami. It may be a Tom Brady hater because of New England. That'd be my. Would you say that's probably a possible scenario here?
Possibility, Tony?
Very possible.
Or Jets fan.
Or New England.
No. Jets fan. Or is a Jets fan? Yeah, I'd say Jets fan.
Probably. A Jets fan. It says he's from Spring Hill, Florida, though. A Jets fan.
Oh, Miami. There you go. Where is Spring Hill, Florida?
I've never heard of it.
Joe, look up where Spring Hill, Florida is. If it's there, because I might have nailed that one right there. Next is from JG, and the subject is AEW versus WWE. Hey guys, I've recently watched NXT and was embarrassed after what I saw. Programming is horrendous on all fronts. Disc, I'm a fan of your opinions and takes, but you spent an era that's very pro-WWE and negative AEW. I see your points, but Dynamite is at least watchable times compared to 3 hours of stale, overproduced corporate crap on Raw. Are you paid to shit on AEW? Because WWE is far from being any good. At least AEW feels more Raw, no pun intended. What's your guys' take on this? And that's JG from Jersey.
And just to finish up that previous email, Spring Hill is in the Tampa, St. Petersburg, Clearwater metro area.
Yeah, it's about 4 hours away.
Oh, so he's a Tampa fan. So he's mad at Tom Brady now because he stinks this year.
Right.
So I don't
– Until the fourth quarter.
Okay, Mr. JG from Jersey. We don't watch NXT. We quit watching NXT because we didn't like it, okay? I don't know if you listened to our podcast, but if you think I'm very pro-WWE and negative AEW, dude, I literally would have to just watch like a – Like a 20-minute YouTube clip of Raw because I could not watch the show because it was so bad. Okay, there's specific things that I like in wrestling, specific characters, specific angles, and there's stuff I don't. And I point the stuff that I like and don't like out every week. And Conan does the exact same thing. There's some stuff in WWE that we like, and I think what you're trying to do here is because I like some stuff in WWE, you're trying to say that I'm a WWE shill, but then that you discount the evidence of the stuff that I don't like. Which people would probably say if they, you could point, you could take sound bites from me and say I'm shitting on WWE. Okay. There's a lot of stuff I don't like in AEW. Okay. And they have more stuff I don't like because a lot of the work in AEW is more indie than WWE is. They do a lot of the stuff that I don't like, a lot of thigh slapping, a lot of the Japanese forearm spot, a lot of standing there and let the guy run across the ring and run at you and dive and you stand there and catch the guy. Here's my other spot. Here's my new spot. I want you guys to watch this when they do this from now on, okay? A guy is in – there's two of these spots, and they're very similar, and they're both atrocious. And wrestlers got to stop doing this because it looks terrible, okay? But they keep doing it, and they've been doing it forever. I don't think anybody's – maybe they've gotten so used to doing it that they think it looks good. You shoot a guy into the corner. You go running at him, but you're not even really running that fast. You're just like kind of jogging at the guy. The guy ducks down. And somehow backdrops you over the rope and you land on the apron out of that. Right. I don't think people realize how bad that looks when it's not done with effort or realism. And the other spot I can't stand is you're in the middle of the ropes, against the ropes. A guy comes running at you. You drop down. Now somehow instead of the guy bouncing off the ropes and bouncing back, the guy dives over the ropes.
Right. Usually the guy pulls down the top ropes and he goes over.
But the timing on it often is so atrocious that it looks like the guy runs and just jumps over the top rope by himself because the guy drops down too fast.
Now, the first thing you just called, that comes from Lucha Libre. It's called the Bandera. Uh-huh. And, bro, it's just it's a wrestling move, you know?
Okay, but I would say this because so many people do it. And it's like when you see it constantly, that spot over and over, this is the way you should do it. You shoot the guy in the turnbuckle and you run and you give him a clothesline. Okay. So then you shoot him back into the other turnbuckle and you run just like you go, like you're going to give him another clothesline, like an offensive move. And the guy ducks down and pops you over. These guys just run like they're running at the guy, like they're not ready to even do anything. Like you're not in a position to strike or close. You're just jogging at the guy, and the guy pops you over the thing, and it looks atrocious. Would you agree with that? That you see that sometimes?
I'm just so used to it that it doesn't really, I don't get into it that much anymore. I just look at it as a transitionary move, what it is.
All right. But my whole thing is basically the AEW they got a lot of fake-looking work that they need to pull back.
Yes,
100%. Too many guys do it. Yeah. So next is from here we go. We had this gentleman on the show last week that discussed this. It's from CC, and the subject is Ric Flair versus Eric Bischoff. Rick has been firing some shit at Bischoff on Flair's podcast. I thought it may be work at first with Eric's new book on the shelves. Then Flair followed up by shitting on several others in the business, including good old JR. Conor is like, I'm out of here. If you guys are following this, what do you make of it? Has Flair gone off the deep end? No disrespect to Flair, and it seems like Flair has been shitting on a lot of people lately. Hey, JoJo, man wants to know, have you ever seen the Flyers win the cup? Joe, have you ever seen the Flyers win the cup?
I have not. Yeah. I've seen the Phillies win the World Series. I've seen the Eagles win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but you've never seen the Flyers win the cup?
Never seen the Flyers win the cup, no.
That's hysterical. Good health to you, Conan, by the way, from CC. Flair has a response to why he's been going after Eric. Did you find that? I saw this today. This is just like the old school guys at beef. They're shitting on a lot of people, you know?
All right, so here's what recently it was. Speaking on his podcast, Flair recalled himself being the 18th highest paid employee in WCW and cited how Bischoff named several other talent who perceived as bigger stars while sarcastically adding, I'll go so far as to say that in the 90s, Ric Flair and the Horsemen were the shits, if that makes him feel better. Flair and Incited comments made by Bischoff in the upcoming Peacock documentary, woo, becoming Ric Flair, and try to juxtapose them against what he perceived as Bischoff's attitude towards him in the WCW days. Hopefully he can explain to me why a guy that meant nothing to the company, according to him, had no value and was replaced by so many different people. Why he chose me to make an example of rather than someone like Scott Steiner or the guys that didn't go to take drug tests or guys that didn't show up to the shows. Why pick me? What purpose did it serve to make an example of me and try to break me for taking my son to the AU Nationals for a secondary show called Thunder that nobody went to? Earlier this week, Bischoff said if Flair wants to face-to-face and just kind of talk this thing through and figure out where it's all coming from and why, and if I owe Rick an apology or something, I'm happy to do that.
Yeah, Eric's taking the high road here, I've noticed, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here was Eric's contention, okay? He was saying that basically, you know, the Horsemen, NWA, WCW, before Hogan and NWO, like, they didn't draw any money. That's not true. Okay, but that's Eric's point. Like, we really started drawing money, like, you know, like you know what I'm saying? What he's trying to say is, like, you know, we blew it
up. Well, NWA definitely, you know, blew it up for sure.
Right. Or NWO, you mean, but blew it up. But yeah. But I think that's what Eric was saying, that, like, he's trying to compare the numbers, like, ratings-wise, of, like, his
and
WCW.
Rick got it like a diss.
Right, exactly. Yeah. What's good, K100 crew? Foxnews.com profile. That was not the only show he was on, by the way. Recently profiled an altercation between a home intruder and Hacksaw Jim Duggan, who was able to hold an intruder at gunpoint till police responded without firing a shot. Thank goodness. Do you guys have any funny or unique moments with Hacksaw you can share? We'll just say this. Me and Conan have always said this about Hacksaw. Now, Hacksaw was a great guy. Okay, always joking backstage. He was always. I can't remember ever having anything crossed with the guy. Like, did you ever have any issue with him ever, Conan? No, he's like the nicest guy. But, like, we always said, and the funny thing is, like, you know, during our era when kind of like the smart marks started to integrate into the wrestling conversation and stuff, and there was kind of like this thing where this perception, like, oh, Jim Duggan, he's a shitty worker, he can't do anything, you know. But me and Conan will attest, okay, there's nights sometimes, you know, we would go and be on the road sometimes 250 days a year, okay? And you go to house shows sometimes, and, you know, me and Conan would go out, you know, or Eddie and Dean, or like Benoit and Dean would open up the show, and they'd be working their ass off, and it's just crowd's flat, you know? They're not really popped for anything, you know? Then, like, me and Alex would go out there and wrestle, and, like, you know, they really didn't get with it. You know, Conan would go out there with maybe Hoovy, and they're doing a bunch of lucha, and it's not really getting over and stuff and thing. And then the next thing you know is, like, Duggan comes out there and he's wrestling, like, whoever. You know, and, bro, he starts going, yo, you know, bro, and the crowd would just, like, the building just started getting energy. You know, like it's like, wow, what the, you know. Bro, sometimes, like, you know, he never had, like, a 5-star match or a 4-star match, but on a lot of the shows that we would do, the fans that came to see the show, he would get the biggest pop, and the crowd would leave and say, what was your favorite match? And they would say the Hacksaw Jim Duggan match.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, that's exactly what this guy brought to the table that was not appreciated.
Bro, by, and his, like, matches, like, you know, were only like 5 minutes.
And there's just 5 minutes. The people were with it. They're like, you know, crowd participation. You had, and just like, bro, you would hear it. He'd bring the building to life sometimes, you know? Yeah. That was a great skill to have, and he was incredible. But, but this thing with the home intruder, that's really amazing. But just to, you know, it's funny how people say, like, you know, I don't know if you're a Second Amendment guy or, like, you know, whatever, but, like, dude, it's like, this is kind of like where owning a gun is important when somebody tries to come into your home. You know, if you don't have a weapon and somebody comes, like, what are you going to do? You know, so, and this is the gist of why a lot of people have guns, so people don't attack them in their home, you know? So I thought this was bravo to Jim Duggan for, you know, defusing the situation. Thank God nobody was killed. But what a dumb MF you got to be to try breaking hacks on Jim Duggan. So, like,
he's a big, like, guy, too.
Yeah, I know. It's like, maybe the guy didn't know, you know? But, like, could you imagine if you broke into Brock Lesnar's home and you didn't know it was his home? I just imagine that, right? Oh, my God.
The thing about Duggan was he, like, if for fans that want to be an encyclopedia of the business or whatever, go back and watch Mid-South or UWF and Duggan stuff there, because it was a completely different presentation. He changed and adapted when WWF brought him in as, like, the thumbs up and his tongue out. And he was just a punch kick clothesline guy.
That's all he had to do.
That's what they wanted. Yeah, that's what the fans wanted.
Yeah. Well, I know our listeners sometimes probably lack confidence in the bedroom. We've all had those nights where we get too nervous when we had too much to drink, but there's nothing worse than not being able to put the stick shift in drive when you need the most. But have no fear, Rex MD is here, spreading cheer, even when you have a few too many beers.
Perfect.
So Rex MD is FDA approved and the most trusted leader in men's telehealth. They've sponsored this episode to help you always be prepared. Rex MD has made it simple, easy, and cost-effective to help all the men out there last longer and feel more confident in the bedroom. Rex MD makes getting generic and branded Viagra Cialis easy. Everything's online, even the prescription, and they deliver it discreetly to your door. No waiting rooms, no embarrassing trips to the doctor, no insurance, and no co-pays. Take advantage of their best deal they've offered and save up to 90% and only pay $2 per dosage with the exclusive link, rexmd.com/K100. That's rexmd, rexmd.com/K100 for this limited time deal. So RexMD has made this whole process very simple. There's no need to jump through a bunch of hoops to set up an embarrassing doctor's appointment to get your medication where you're telling them, hey, I'm having problems performing. So with just a few clicks of a button, you can talk to a medical professional, create a personalized plan, and get the products discreetly shipped to your door within 2 days. RexMD doesn't just have ED medication. There's other medications that help sexual health, hair growth, pain relief, and sleeping. They're also here to make sure you save big. Viagra costs around $90 a pill. That's ridiculous. But RexMD has generic Viagra. That's just as effective for as low as $2 a pill. And unlike other brands, RexMD is FDA approved, clinically tested at a U.S. licensed pharmacy. So you'll be getting FDA-approved ED treatments at a 90% cheaper rate than the doctors. That's 90% cheaper. That's ridiculous savings. It's fast, simple, and cheap. And RexMD has already helped over 300,000 guys gain confidence quickly and conveniently, and they're here to help you.
And let me just say that is accurate. You know, Viagra and Cialis can be very expensive, even with insurance. So you go to rexmd.com/K100, get them for $2 a pill, and I can tell you from personal experience, they work just as well, just the same.
Yeah, next week we'll also be bringing your wife in here for a testimonial, too.
Absolutely.
Act now to take advantage of the best deal yet by heading to rexmd.com/K100. The exclusive deal will save up to 90% off when you only pay $2 per dosage, and starter packs of generic Viagra Cialis are now available to our listeners to get started at RexMD. That's rexmd.com/K100. Yes, yeah. So give the gift of pleasure this holiday season with RexMD.
Right. Keep it hard. Boom.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwood1. All lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwood1 now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/westwood1.
Next is from Roy Lucier, and the subject is Brown Adam. If DC Comics expand the Adam universe and have a Brown Adam, what luchadors would be best for the role? And if LaPark played Brown Adam, would he be the type to power play promoters and tell them because of the movie he can no longer do jobs? That's from Roy Lucier. Conan, you answer this and tell me if this guy should be suspended for a subpar question.
Well, I don't even know who Adam is. Is he talking about like Black Adam?
Black Adam, yeah. But yeah. If they decide to expand and have a Brown Adam.
I don't really know anything about him. I don't know what powers does he have, Joe?
He's trying to be funny, I think, here. Yeah. And it's an epic fail because we don't even know what the F he's talking about.
No, it's a joke. Like, since we heard on the show that The Rock can't do a job because of Black Adam or whatever, like Billy said.
Oh, okay. Right,
saying, would L.A. Park use his movie role to get out of doing jobs? That's basically it.
Would he?
Yeah, so I'm going to give him this. He's such a mark, he probably would.
But that's – wait, so that is a legitimate question. If LaPark was in a movie and he was going to be coming in a movie, do you tell me he had to lose to Blue Demon? Would LaPark say, hey, I can't do a job, I got the
probably
movie going?
Probably. Mm-hmm.
Well, that answers the question that Roy Lucier.
There you go, Roy.
There you go.
Now, just so you know, this Saturday, Black Adam is going to be on HBO. That didn't take long.
Wow.
And I'm going to watch it and see what's the – I've heard it then done really bad numbers.
Mm. Yeah, it did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Next from Matthew Phillips, the subject is Rampage. Hey, Conan Disco. Hope all's well. Wish you all great holidays. One of the biggest problems with Rampage, I've noticed, other than being pre-taped, is the time slot. Actually, it'd be better if they actually started airing it at the same time as SmackDown. Normally, yes, it would cause more harm than good, but the 10 o'clock time slot on cable on a Friday is so bad that if they went on the same time as SmackDown, it might actually help the ratings. If I'm wrong, is that fair enough? But with you guys, your TV experience, what do you think? No, you can't go to – bro, that show doesn't do numbers as – bro, it's not – the time slot's not – atrocious. Okay, the time slot's the equivalent of the Raw third hour. So
yeah, if you
want
to have lower numbers, go up against Raw.
Right. The TNA already tried that, so they went head to head with WWE with you know what AEW is doing that might help. I'm predicting it's going to help their numbers. They're revamping the visual look of the show. The visual look, you know, which is one of the things that, bro, you have to compete with the WWE. They're you know. When they're doing CGI in their entrance,
right,
and all you really do is kind of fireworks and stuff, and you know, just the screen, it's like you kind of got to, I don't know. And they brought a guy in from WWE. Maybe he has some ideas of what to do. Who's the guy they hired, Joe? The producer guy?
The comic book guy?
Yeah, no. They hired one of the production team.
Oh, AEW hired a WWE guy. Yeah.
Yeah. So he's going to be good hire then. So. Next is from Ignacio.
Mike Mansory is his name.
Yeah, Mansory. Next from Ignacio Pinales. And the subject is the demo and audience Ignacio Na. All right.
Okay.
Hey, Disco and Conan, love your work on the podcast. Appreciate everything y'all have done for the wrestling business. My question is, I hear a lot of talk on how both AEW and WWE need to grow their audience. I wanted your take on how these companies can accomplish this. In my opinion, if you're not a wrestling fan, by the time you're 18, and I think that's being generous, you're never going to be a wrestling fan. What demographics should the two major companies be focusing on? I hear a lot about the 18-49 demo, but these fans have been watching since they were preteens or teens. How can they engage a younger audience by creating characters that will appeal to them, but not making it too hokey where you turn off a more mature audience? Dave was arguing with people on Twitter about his issue with the NHL like not doing good numbers on Wednesday night, and their rights fees are way higher. Okay, and this will tie into this, but I want to make a point here. Bro, when TNT is paying, okay, TNT has you know, AEW has their audience, okay? So what you're going to get with that audience every Wednesday night is you're going to get probably like 85% of the core of that audience is going to watch every single week no matter what. And it's going to fluctuate. Maybe 15% of the audience is going to watch or come back, and, you know, depending, maybe a little above that, right? But for advertisers, you're marketing, you're paying for ads, and every week it's the same people. okay? Now, the NHL and sports, and this is why they get all the rights fees, okay? Like, you could look at the Wednesday night rating, and they only did, like, you know, like 600,000, you know, for, you know, they did 400,000 for the St. Louis Blues versus the Vancouver Canucks, okay? The next week, it's the New York Rangers versus the Philadelphia Flyers, and you're doing 700,000 because it's a bigger market, okay? So, but what it is it's a lot of new viewers from the week before because different teams are playing. So when TNT is, like, paying these rights fees, over the course of a season, their ads are being delivered to a wider audience, although it's not the same audience every single week. The audience is going to fluctuate, and it's going to be different because the NHL has a large market of fans, right? And I think that's what people don't realize with wrestling. It's the same, like, 2 to 3 million people every week. But with NHL and NBA, there's like 20 to 30 to 40 million fans. And if the teams are on like that night, that part of that, you're going to pull from those fan bases. So they're going to so the NHL is going to get higher rights fees because more unique viewers are going to be watching the Wednesday night broadcast throughout the course of a season than watch on Wednesday night on professional wrestling. And I don't think people really understand that. So the thing is with what me and Conan talk about it all the time and why ratings are so important. This is why you have to grow your audience. Because advertisers are not going to look and say, like, well, shit, it's the same million fans every week. But what if you're saying, like, well, it's the same 1.4 million fans every week? Okay, which is going to get more higher rights fees? A million fans or 1.4 million fans? Which is why you need to do the things to get ratings and, like, engage, you know, you got to engage the audiences and hit the target market. Do you got any comments on that, Conan?
No, I think the main thing is obviously you want to show that caters to adults and kids and people over 40 or whatever it is. That's kind of what we do in Mexico, but we don't have the resources, and we will have soon, but WWE does. And you want to get as many mainstream people watching your show and vice versa. So you got to send your people to ESPN. You got to send your people to maybe, you know, the Bill Marshall, or maybe to have them, as a rotating guest on one of the top shows on TV. You want to have that cross pollinization, just like when they brought Bad Bunny in. You know, if he's got 22 million followers and let's say, and 500,000 people follow him to WWE, and after he leaves, 50,000 stay, you've increased 50,000 people. And that's what you gotta kind of do. You gotta drag people from other people and vice versa.
Right. Conan, guess what?
What'd it do?
'Tis the season for overindulging and cheating on your diet.
Nice.
Joe, don't interrupt. Hang on. Conan, guess what?
What up?
'Tis the season for overindulging and cheating on your diet. Don't let the holidays ruin all your hard-earned progress with your diet and training. Get prepared to crush it in 2023 with, guess what? Legacy Sports Nutrition.
Boom.
Now, you've heard us talk about them before, but now more K100 listeners than ever have experienced the results for themselves from professional-grade supplements available at LegacySups.com. Shed those excess holiday pounds and have the energy needed to endure your family with their best-selling fat burner, X-Lean 5, which, Joe, you're currently using, right?
Yeah, I take my X-Lean 5 every morning. I'm energized all day long. I've been feeling a lot better. I feel a lot sharper. And then later on in the day is when I take the Recovery PM to get some really, really good sleep at night. And I'm deep sleeping. I'm getting plenty. And you get your deep dreams that you remember and all that. It's really that's a good show that you're sleeping well. So, but the X-Lean 5, man, I can't recommend it enough if you're looking for more energy during the day. And I've dropped some pounds as well, so.
Well, if that sounds good, you know, I don't do carbs, but you might want to try Carb Defender, specifically designed to take before you're about to pick out on carbs. I know a lot of people like to pick out on carbs, like pizza and stuff, but it limits the negative effect of carbs in your waistline. And, of course, there's always their top-selling Test X9 Testosterone Booster and the Sleep Aid getting rave reviews worldwide, the Recover PM. That's my favorite product. And while stocks last, orders over $75 will receive a free supplement organizer with 7 individual cases divided into morning, noon, and night. All in one handy case, you can stay on top of your subs and make those gains, brother. That sounds like a great product because I got tons of pills, you know, that I take. And as always, show your love for K100. Get 10% off your entire order by entering code K100, that's K100, at checkout at LegacySups.com. That's LegacySups.com.
Yo, check it out. You know, you got all these different supplements for energy, for
you know, for sleeping, for just about anything you can think of. You know, we're very big on wellness here. Check it out, Legacy Subs, endorsed and made by Nick on Probation Aldis and Mickey James.
Next is from Chris Coos, and the subject is working punch question for Disco. Hey guys, hope all is going well and glad to hear Conan is on the up and up. My question is for Disco. You stated on the show that you have a great working punch and how it's a rare thing to see in today's wrestling. Have you worked with a younger talent or seen a wrestler today that you think has a believable working punch or believable offensive attacks in your personal opinion, professional opinion? Keep it up and thanks for the awesome content you guys put out every week. Bro, there's tons of them. Guys, that you know, there's a lot of guys that could do it. But bro, you know, like, look, I was watching Kenny Omega throws a pretty good punch. I saw him throwing punches. I think, well, why doesn't he do this more often? These look good. The Young Bucks throw good punches, but everybody does these. Like these guys will do the Japanese spots instead of do the American spots, which look better. That's kind of weird to me and stuff. A lot of guys throw good punches. I mean, there's you know, it's just they don't do it that much. That's the problem. It's like the skill is there, but they just rather do these stupid looking forearm shots where nobody sells it, you know, sell and stuff or anything. So there's tons of guys that do it. I mean, like a lot. You don't even have to ask me. All you got to do is just watch the shows, and guys that look like they throw good punches are the ones that throw good punches. So you got any comment?
No, I agree.
Yeah. Anthony Villa, subject is Latino rap. Conan. I know you're a big rap fan. I was wondering if you ever listened to any of the old school Latino rappers like Mr. Lil One, SPM, Kid Frost, or Lil Rob. If you have you had an opportunity to party with any of them? That's the question.
Yeah, I've heard all of those guys. And South Park Mexican, I think, is still in jail. So, but Kid Frost, actually, I did music with him, and I actually brought him up when I was in WCW to into the ring with me. I've partied with Baby Bash, that's my boy, and also In Too Deep from In the Hotel or Back to the Hotel, whatever the song was. But yeah, I listened to all those old school Latino rappers.
Interesting. Who was the rapper that you did the thing in WCW with?
Mad One.
Mad One, that's right. I forgot that name. The last one is from Anthony Hunt. The subject is My Issue with the Bloodline Storyline. K100 Crew, greetings. Hope you're well. The Bloodline. Joe, why is this on December? When do we do the Anthony Hunt? You got to get your mail in before Monday.
Yeah, yeah. He was right afterwards.
Yeah. My issue with the Bloodline storyline. K100 Crew, greetings. Hope you're well. Bloodline is fine, but they had this with the Hurt Business and they gave up on them. Sorry, this isn't better than the Horsemen since 2012. Roman Reigns has been shoved down the fans' throats. You guys like it fine. I'm not feeling it. Samoan talent gets pushed and black talent in WCW is screwed over. Have a great day. I'm sorry, WWE just frustrates me as an African-American fan. Sincerely, Anthony Hunt. I don't even know what to say to this.
Well, what I can say is, bro, compared to how they treated brothers before, they treat them way fucking better.
Way better now. Yeah. I can't even...
And they do, and they push Bobby Lashley, they push New Day, they push Bianca Belair, they push the Street Profits. What the fuck are you talking about? The Samoans are pushed because they're fucking great.
Yeah, and they're,
bro, I've never seen a bad Samoan wrestler, and their storyline is the best storyline in wrestling. So I don't know what the fuck you're talking about, dog.
I would say there's okay. Anthony Hunt, that you're frustrated as an African American fan. How do you think the Middle Eastern fans feel? I mean, no more Shanky. Jinder Mahal is getting jobbed out. Mustafa Ali gets buried every week on the show. It's like, yeah. They got more of a case than the African American fans.
Yeah, they get treated way worse.
Yeah, right.
And Muhammad Hassan disappeared and never came back.
Yeah, it's like, you know, so get in line. You know, so, if you want to be like the victim.
When I came into the business, there were hardly no women, hardly no small guys, hardly no brothers, hardly no Latinos, and so this way better, my friend, way better.
Yeah. It's been a lot of tons of progress, yeah. You know? Yeah. All right, that's been the mailbag.